Welcome to the Show Me Institute podcast. I'm Zach Lawhorn from Show Me Opportunity, and today I'm joined by Susan Pendergrass and James Scholes from Show Me Institute. Susan, this is our version of an emergency pod. It is Monday morning here, and last week there was a bill passed. It passed the House. It had previously passed the Senate, Senate Bill 727. People are calling it the Comprehensive Education Reform Bill. Tell us a little bit about 727, what's in it, and what are your thoughts on it being sent to the governor's desk?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to start by saying last year when we had similar conversations about what the Missouri legislature was doing on education, we got so close that it was like painfully close. We got through the House, we got through the Senate committee, we almost to the Senate floor. We just got like so close, and the Senate, you know, packed up and went home. And so when folks ask me about the prospects for education reform this year, I'm like, I wouldn't bet on either way, because you never know with the Missouri legislature. They may just go home and do nothing. But this year they did something, and they did a lot of things, actually. And it's all sort of contained in this one comprehensive education reform bill, which was originally Senate Bill 727. It started off as a bill to expand the Empowerment Scholarship Program. Things got added and added, and by the time it left the Senate, it was 150 pages. And the House basically passed that version of it, and they used a parliamentary procedure to put changes that folks didn't like in the bill into another bill. Be that as it may, that passed as well, and they're both waiting for the governor. So here's what's in it. Greatly expands the number, the type of children of eligible for the Missouri Empowerment Scholarship Program, or ESAs, such that there's no longer restricted to just certain communities in the state. The income limit for low income was doubled. It's quite reaches well into the middle class now. The scholarship amounts too were raised to reflect that if public school students who have an IEP because they have a disability, or who are low income or English learners, their district gets an extra amount for them. So now in the program, that extra amount becomes part of the scholarship, and the total amount of tax credits available for donors to take can be as much as $75 million, which is, we haven't even come close to that amount, but that would be a dramatic increase. Maybe 11 or 12,000 kids could get the scholarship. So that's in there. And that was kind of the backbone of the bill. But then things started getting added in, like charter schools in Missouri are only allowed in unaccredited or provisionally accredited districts. They broke that rule, and in Boone County only, fully accredited districts like Columbia 93 can now be places where charter schools could open without the school board being the sponsor, which means a university or the state board would be the sponsor. The school board doesn't have to approve it or even have anything to do with it. So that happened. That was a lot of the debate. Also, there's some four-day school weeks. I can let James talk about that a little bit. And teacher pay was raised. The minimum teacher pay was raised from $25,000. That's going to go up to $44,000. That's a pretty big deal. And another thing we've talked about is hard to staff schools, hard to staff subjects. Now teachers can be basically paid more for filling those positions by being bumped up on the salary schedules. And a scholarship program for college students who are willing to go into those fields to teach hard to staff subject areas. There'll be college scholarship money available. It changes the funding formula a little bit. Cuts, rather than counting students for attendance, it counts students for enrollment. So a lot of things in a large comprehensive bill. I, for one, am impressed that it made it all the way through the whole system, through lots of negative back and forth, and it is ready. It is going to the governor's desk, and time will tell if he signs it.
So I want to highlight two things before I go to you, James, to talk about the four-day school week portion of the bill. Two things, Susan, that you talked about were ESA expansion and charter school expansion. Both are not our perfect version, your perfect version. So I want to start with the ESA portion of it. Good, but what is it lacking that would have made it the Susan Pendergrass wave the magic wand version?
So these scholarship programs have been changing rapidly throughout the country in the last, 5 years at most, sort of pandemic era and just after, where it was always believed that you had to create this wall between the scholarship program where kids might go to private religious schools and the public funding for it. Missouri found a way to kind of thread that needle, which is people donate to scholarship granting organizations. For that donation, they get a tax credit right off the top of their Missouri state income tax bill, dollar for dollar. And then the money goes out to the students and they can spend it at the school of their choice, including religious. So there's like a wall between these two things. Well, the Supreme Court ruled in a case in Montana, I believe, a few years ago that we don't even need that wall. So since that Supreme Court ruling that said public money can go to families and families can spend it where they want, including at a private religious school, because the family's making the decision. Just like if I give you a SNAP card and you can spend your benefits at whatever grocery store you choose, they said, we don't even need that wall anymore. So since then, 10 states have now passed what we call universal school choice, which means you take your state funding. Iowa's one. They're all about $6,500, $7,000. It goes straight into an account under the child's name. They can spend it on tuition at any school of their choice, public or private. And Arkansas did it. Alabama's done it. Utah, Indiana, New Hampshire, lots of states have now, Arizona, Texas is going to have a shot at it, which will dramatically increase the number of kids in these programs. Missouri's kind of back in the pre-universal school choice era where we still have this wall. I think it would be best if the Missouri legislature just committed to funding the program like these other 10 states have done and said, $6,500 either goes to the public school district you're assigned, or it goes to you and you decide where to spend it. It's kind of the same thing because the child moves with the money. And we didn't do that. They did increase the amount that we can raise through donations, but that's kind of the last thing. And then the charter school thing, obviously, they should just be statewide. I mean, it's silly. Half of all charter schools are sponsored by their school boards. That's been a big, for some reason, issue in Missouri, a real roadblock. My hope is that Boone County has a couple few great charter schools open that serve different types of students, like dropout recovery or students who are behind or students who want a personalized learning environment, whatever it is. No one knows. Nothing's even in the works yet. And the districts across the state will realize that it can actually be a really attractive thing for your community to have one more option for families. And it's not like us versus them. It's not a fight. It should be like a collaboration and a portfolio approach to education. So I hope that Boone County is actually the example, the shining star of like, here's how we collaborate with traditional public schools and charter public schools and virtual public schools and whatever else families want. So yeah, they need, you know, my hope is that one day this goes statewide.
James, what are your top line takeaways? It's a long bill, 150 plus pages, a lot in there. What jumps out at you?
Well, I think the first takeaway for me is that we need to revise the Schoolhouse Rock videos on how a bill becomes a law. I mean, the fact of the matter is governing takes compromise. And that's what we have here is a lot of compromises. You have a group of people who want to push something forward and they make negotiations. They start saying, okay, if you get on board with this, we'll add that other portion that you want into the bill. And so there are people who come together, they compromise, they put different things together. And then as it's moving forward, other people say, hey, can we tack this thing onto the bill also because it's a fix for this thing or it's a fix for that thing? I mean, all of the stuff that Susan talked about, she might have touched on half of the bill. I mean, there is so much here. It touches on a lot of different areas. And so that's the most important thing to keep in mind is that this is a compromise bill. I'm going to find things in this bill I don't like. Susan's going to find things in this bill she doesn't like. And they might not be the same things. The traditional public school educator who's going to find things in this bill that they like and things that they don't like. There's stuff in here that touches on Missouri Teacher Retirement Program. So working after retirement and rules related to that. There's information in here that changes how we calculate things for the Missouri Virtual School Program, right? So there's a lot of different stuff in here. On balance, there's a lot of good stuff that the Show Me Institute has been advocating for years.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought that up, advocating for years for both of you that have been not just nationwide, but specifically in Missouri, talking about more educational choice for Missourians. How does it feel like when it? And again, the governor hasn't signed it, so we'll see how this ends. But I don't know, Susan, how did it feel on Thursday when the bill passed the House?
I, again, like having watched the Missouri legislature get really close and do nothing, it felt to me a huge sense of relief because, you know, we work on these things all year long and then we work more intensely during the legislative session. And I'm not even lobbying, but it, and the lobbyists were working very hard. And it felt like the Missouri legislature was able to get something done. And James is right. It is full of compromise, but they were able to compromise and they were able to work past some of the personal differences that have really been problematic in the last few years in the Missouri legislature. And there's been name calling and it's gotten kind of ugly. They were able to work past all of that and folks were able to cross the aisle. And I know the bill sponsors said on the floor, like, I went to everyone's office and said, what do you need? You know what I mean? Like, they really were trying to hand carry this thing so that they wouldn't at least be like a do nothing session again. Like, something, a lot of things, in fact, got done. So there is absolutely, without question, more choice for parents in this bill. And I mean, I do appreciate that. Do we still have to do a bunch of work? Of course we do. Of course, but there's a lot in there to like, and I was just impressed to see how, even especially like putting these amendments not in the bill but into a bill right behind it and to pass that, they did a lot of hurdles. They went over a lot of hurdles to get this done. So I'm just glad that it was able to get there.
Well, let me jump in, because we mentioned earlier the 4-day school week, and this is an issue where you can see the compromise taking place. There are people who are vehemently opposed to the 4-day school week, and there are people who really like the 4-day school week. And so what do we have here? Clearly a compromise. They reinstated the minimum number of school days. That was removed a number of years ago. So now 5-day school week districts have to go 169 days. 4-day school week districts have to go 142 days. Those minimums weren't there before. But what do? The people who don't like it, they put an incentive in, a financial incentive. So if you're a 5-day school week, you get this 2% bump on some additional monies. And if you're a 4-day district, you get 1%. I'm sure that's a compromise between these groups that are saying, no, we want to make it possible and available for some districts to do this if they think it's best for them. But we also want to give a financial incentive to not do it. And so you see those types of compromises throughout. Again, like I said, I think on balance, there's lots of good things here. I'm excited about the charter school expansion. I'm excited about the expanding the private school choice options. And I'm optimistic as this goes forward.
And just a quick note about the 4-day school week. This is you and Avery Frank have written a lot about it this year. The 4-day school week is rapidly growing in Missouri. So there, like I said, there's a lot in this bill, but that's definitely something that people should pay attention to, because it's not just small rural districts anymore that are using the 4-day school week. So this could have a larger impact than a lot of people think.
We saw a tremendous spike in the 4-day school week when those minimum number of days were removed, and there was no incentive. There was nothing that prevented school districts from making that move. There was no financial stakes at hand. There's nothing. I mean, if a district wanted to do it, now they have a financial incentive to stay with 5 days, and we'll see how that changes the dynamic.
All right, and just a couple of minutes left here. Susan, you said there's still a lot of work to do. As you look around Alabama, Iowa, Arkansas, Arizona, the states we talk about all the time, you've already covered ESAs and charter schools, but when you say there's more work to do, let's get specific on that for a minute. What else do we need to do to be in league with our neighboring states, Iowa, Arkansas, to have school choice?
Well, so we're in an interesting time right now in Missouri, because we have a funding formula that's about 20 years old. And 20 years is about the life of a funding formula, which is incredibly long. Missouri's like on the cusp of needing to throw it out and get a whole new funding formula like other states have done recently, like Tennessee, one that better matches the environment that bills like this create for education in the state. And this bill had a couple little tweaks in it, kind of like an odd thing about the local effort back in 2005, not small tweak, but moving from measuring attendance or funding attendance to funding enrollment. They actually are going to split it half and half. It's like we're dipping toes into the water around this funding formula. And I think folks are beginning to realize that it's old and we're sort of duct taping it. So I think what I see on the horizon from Missouri legislature is, and this is a big effort when states do it, is really back to the drawing board on how we fund our public schools and that funding formula that seeks to equalize resources across very different types of communities. So that'll be a multi-year effort, and I would expect that that's going to be a big part of our next work on education.
James, when you attend your next conference with your education research colleagues and people outside the state of Missouri, maybe even outside the country this summer, this fall, say, hey, James, how's Missouri looking? How enthusiastic is your response going to be?
We're making progress. You know, it's hard to be super enthusiastic. As you heard from Susan, there are lots of places that are moving faster, that are doing more things that are bigger and bolder, that are really expanding options for families. We're making progress, but we're not there yet.
I think that's a good note to end on. We're making progress, but we're not there yet. More work to do. But Senate Bill 727 heads to the governor's desk, and I'm sure if when he signs it, we will talk to you then. So, Susan, James, thank you for jumping on this emergency podcast.
Thanks.